Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. If you're someone who has been struggling to find and develop a healthy, intimate partnership, or if you're someone who wants to improve the current relationship that you're in, then you're going to find this episode a treat. Today, I'm speaking with Brianna Milne, a certified global life, dating, and relationship coach and licensed mental health counselor for over 18 years. She's a number one best-selling author, podcast host, and a certified clinical trauma and addictions professional. Brianna offers VIP, one-on-one, and group coaching for singles and couples through her Life and Love Training Academy. During my conversation with Brianna, we spoke about some critical issues to consider regarding relationships, such as the common blocks that hold a person back from having loving relationships. And this includes the various kinds of childhood trauma. You'll also learn the key qualities of an emotionally healthy relationship and how we can work towards embodying those qualities. Join me for this exciting episode. Hi, Rihanna. How are you doing today?
Hi, Celine. Thank you so much for asking me to be a part of the Dreamcatcher.
Great. I'm so glad to have you here. I'm really looking forward to digging deep into the topic of relationships with you. More specifically, how we can develop emotionally healthy and conscious relationships. And I think that you're one of the best people to be speaking with about this subject. So thank you for making the time to be here.
Oh, sure. I'm happy to be here for your listeners.
Great. So let's start out with learning a little bit about you. Could you please tell us a little bit about your work as a life, love, and relationship coach and how you came into it?
Sure. Well, I was a singles, couples, and family therapist for over 18 years, and I started in the Atlantic New Jersey area and then moved to Delray Beach, Florida in 2014. And I started my coaching career going to RCI, Relationship Coaching Institute, and graduated 2010. Because I knew that coaching could really offer a higher support level, better, faster, more cutting edge quality of transformation for my clients. Therapy just seems so slow and antiquated as a model to help people. And then I decided to go global. So what I offer right now is online virtual programs that are 3 and 6 months long. And I combine what is my psychology background with coaching, and I'm also a clinical trauma professional to help people overcome their past unconscious qualities that are holding them back to true love, and helping them get into a more conscious decision-making way of living and being. And it helps them have the life they desire and the love they deserve. And it really all started from my own search for emotionally healthy and evolved love. And the information that I needed was not taught in any of my psychology master's program, that was for sure. And, it's ending a relationship. I actually annulled my marriage to someone who I would call like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He was wonderful socially. Everybody loved him, thought he was fantastic. And then behind closed doors is a whole different person. And he had a secret life on top of it, one with addiction. So I just knew I needed to know what his issues were, why they were happening. And that's when I went on a mad mission to, understand this. And then I created programs around it to help others.
Very interesting.
Turn my pain into passion,
Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there are a lot of subconscious kind of belief systems that get in the way of developing healthy relationships. Based on your experience, what do you think are the most common blocks that prevent a person from having loving relationships that they dream of and that they deserve?
Right, right. Well, you know, when I was going through this research, I came to the realization that most of my clients are struggling with anxiety, depression, and broken toxic relationships. And they all were due to past childhood or dating and relationship traumatic events. So I teach the strategies to help heal from the past trauma. What happens is when a person is very young, as a child, they develop faulty coping mechanisms that are basically saving them as a child. And then they become habitual destructive behavioral problems, which are done unconsciously when they're adults, especially in love relationships. It can come out of the job and in other situations, but primarily it comes out with love. And these were done, you know, to basically survive, deny their pain, shutting down their emotions when they were anxious or afraid as children. And much of this was pushed inside as traumatic emotional triggers that come out as adults. So later research came out and identified 18, which they call ACEs, adverse childhood events, that I usually go into the top 10 that most people have, at least a few of these. Because when people say, oh, well, my childhood was pretty normal, I don't think I had any traumas. When you hear the top 10, they're like, oh, my gosh, yes, I did experience those. And maybe that is why I'm struggling in my love relationship. So if you'd like, I'll go into the top 10 traumas.
Yeah, sure. If you could just tell us briefly what they are, that would be great.
Yes. And I suggest that the listeners write them down because I offer at the end a chance to speak with me. And then I'll ask how many of the 10 traumas do you think you had? And I suggest they write three columns, one saying me, one is a partner that you might have had struggles with or you're currently with. And then just put parents in the third one. And if your parents had any of these growing up, then you just put mom or dad in that column because it is proven through research that trauma goes through the generations. So remember when we're going through these as a child, you're very young, you're innocent. It's nothing to feel shame about because trauma happens to you. You know, you did not cause it. So the first part is realizing what did occur, and then we go through the steps of fixing that. So the first one is if when you were very young, did either of your parents have an addiction? So most people know about drugs and alcohol, but there's others like eating, hoarding, spending, porn addiction, sex addiction if your parent was a cheater, gambling, gaming, and TV watching. So there's 10 addictions right there, and the addiction usually comes before time or love for the child. The addiction is always prevalent. Number two is verbal abuse. Now, verbal abuse is more than just yelling and screaming, either at each other as parents or at you. It could also be verbal put-downs or never being told you I love you or hearing verbal accolades like great job, hon, or I believe in you. If you didn't get those kinds of things, very often you're held back as an adult from taking calculated risks to grow and reach higher levels of success. Number three is emotional abuse or neglect. So we all know the common forms of that, but even in the research are showing if you were a latchkey kid is what we call it in the U.S., you know, you come home at 3 o'clock, your parents aren't there, you got to do your homework, get your snack. It's kind of still fear-based and they still call it neglect. Mm-hmm. Number four is what I always call a level 10 trauma, which is physical abuse, rape, or molestation. And when I go through this with a client, I do rate them from 1 to 10, most severe. So all of those are known as a level 10. And they could have occurred inside or outside of the home when you were a child or young adult. Number five is abandonment. And there's two types. There's fault or no fault abandonment. So in no-fault abandonment, three examples would be if a parent died early, or if a parent went off to military, to the war, or if they traveled a lot to support the family, but they were not home often. Those are no-fault abandonments. A fault abandonment would be example if your parents split up and divorced. Let's say dad went away from the home, he promises to see you, he doesn't show up, or he shows up late, or when you do visit with him, he may spend more quality time with the girlfriend than with you. Right. Those are false abandonments. Number six, if you were part of a foster care system, if you were adopted, or you needed to go live with relatives because mom or dad was not available to take care of you. That's number six. Number seven is very common, and we call it personal trauma. One of the key elements of that is being bullied when you were young. You remember feeling different or not good enough. So if you were an overweight child and teased, or very skinny and gawky, not chosen for the sport teams, not fitting into your school, moving a lot, needing to make new friends a lot because your family moved, these are all types of personal traumas, or if you were born with a medical issue. Number eight is sibling traumas. This could be a sibling that bullied you terribly and you had a really poor relationship, or they were born with medical complications, giving your parents more time and attention towards them. Or most common, you perceived your sibling to be what we call the golden child. So they were perceived to be more beautiful, more intelligent, athletic, any of those things where the parents gave them more accolades than you or time and attention. Number nine is family trauma. And I also put in there community trauma. So let's start with community trauma. Look at what our communities are going through today with all the terrorism, the mass shootings, school shootings, hurricanes, volcanoes, storms, like the whole island of Puerto Rico being wiped out. We are increasingly experiencing trauma as a family and a community, and it's very hard on the adults. Can you imagine the little people going through, you know, children going to traumas like this? And then family trauma could be growing up with lack or poverty, moving a lot as a family, a parent being incarcerated. You know, there's many types of family traumas. Those are just a few examples. Mm-hmm. And then number 10 is if your parent has a mental health issue. Now, when we were growing up, our parents didn't go to counseling. They said, mm-hmm. nobody in this family goes to counseling, you know, yeah. wasn't accepted. And, but the two most difficult are his borderline personality type. And I describe that for your listeners is if they had fast trigger anger, got angry very quick over something that seemed like not a big deal. That was a feeling of, I love you, I hate you. When they're great, they're great. When they're bad, they're horrid. Just very, very unstable, very moody. And bipolar is the second one that we call manic depressive. Manic could be like a spending spree or gambling spree or very up and excited. And then the depression, the other side, could be very quiet, angry, withdrawn, very depressed. So those are the two most difficult type of personalities to have in your parents. So those are the 10 top traumas. And research shows that 90%, that's 9 out of 10 of us, have at least one ACE, adverse childhood event. And many have 3 to 4.
Wow.
I mean, those are the top 10.
Yeah. And I was just, as you were speaking about them, I was just thinking about, you know, like everyone has definitely encountered one or two of them at some point, you know, and when you're yeah. dating somebody, you don't even know. I mean, how would you know what's really going on and what happened in their past? And that's something you would only know later on down the road, you know, after date number 4 or 5. So it's just,
well, my clients learn the top 24 questions to ask on that first date.
Right.
And they uncover something that is very severe that they have not handled yet.
Yeah.
We call that a one and done date. And I always say dating's a numbers game. The world is abundant. There's wonderful people out there.
Right.
But when you're dating, you definitely have to know the questions to ask. And this is how we empower my clients, you know, by knowing the questions to ask, what to look for, before they get emotionally attached.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, especially in the, yeah,
very
in the U.S., our models are either our parents or we learn from romance movies or books
right.
or our fairy tales, you know, Cinderella, the handsome prince comes along, he's handsome, he kisses you, boom, we'll get married.
I know, who doesn't
want that,
right?
The wrong way to date, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's what happens. And the research is fabulous in describing this further. So, again, this is all under trauma research. So many of us with childhood traumas, again, 90%, tend to attract others with childhood trauma. And at first, these relationships are amazing, very romantic, high attention, a lot of calls, texting, gifts. So it's like, wow, I got a great partner, right? But then as soon as they come to some kind of commitment, usually 4 to 9 months in, things can change quickly and drastically. And this is if there's an engagement, a marriage, living together, some signs can emerge. And I'll give your listeners a few the signs that could come out.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question because, you know, divorces and breakups are rapidly on the rise since over the past couple of decades.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
What causes relationships to turn toxic and dysfunctional? As you said, you know, as couples get closer and more serious and they kind of, you know, you start seeing their true colors, like what happens?
Well, again, most people want to show their best behavior when they're falling in love.
That's
what I call for my clients the 90-day rule. Like everyone's usually in the best behavior the first 3 months, but soon you'll see when they're angry or frustrated, whether it's at you or wait staff or whatever, you're going to see how they handle, you know, being frustrated or angry. And some signs, you know, can come out as being controlling of you, overeating, overworking, overspending, any kind of an addiction, abusing alcohol. You know, if I see someone, you know, I tell my clients, you see them drinking 3 martinis on a date, there's going to be an alcohol issue there. That's a lot of alcohol, and they're using that either to soothe anxiety. Someone who's highly sexed, they may brag about that, but they are using sex to either conquest, control, prove their manhood, or to soothe their anxiety. And there could be some really serious stuff behind that. Mm-hmm. Using excessive humor or charm to manipulate. That's big. And this comes from like people that, well, where does this all come from? All of these come from one of the 10 traumas. And that's what's interesting to look at it in reverse. If you see a secret life come out, the power is in the secret. They feel empowered by having the secret life, whether it's pornography or being in chat rooms, and their lies and manipulation of you, the partner, which we call conning behavior, and the worst is sociopathy.
Yeah, sociopath.
And if you're dating a sociopath, watch out.
Because, I've read about it and I've witnessed it with my friends and everything. So,
the studies show 1 in 25 people are sociopathic, according to Martha Stout and her book, The Sociopath Next Door. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is all part of the research that I have gone deep in and I used to teach for my clients to be careful. So if they show no apology, if they do a mistake, they blame you a lot, they don't show remorse for the wrongdoing, this is signs of the sociopath. So you have to watch out. But these all come from things going awry as a child. So let's talk about charm and manipulation in a guy. Okay, where does that come from?
Okay.
This is an excellent example.
Yes.
This is a little boy that's at home where his dad's there. You'll amount to no good. You're a loser. No one can get F's on your report card. You're stupid, you know, things like that. So they might go into school and learn to charm their teacher, the female teacher, to get a better grade, to get a little love, to say, oh, isn't he cute or he's so funny? This is where you have to be careful of a lot of humor.
Yeah.
And I've done a study on comedians. All comedians come from usually severe traumatic backgrounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when you say, oh, I want someone with a great sense of humor, like, watch out. So there are definite things you need to watch out. So manipulation became a survival tool for this little child to feel loved and accepted, you know, maybe from his female teacher, and he became really good at it. So it's just second nature to him to be so charming. So it's kind of a warning sign. Like, you know, you can enjoy it, but you watch with a conscious mind. And you don't get unconsciously sucked in. Now, you know, the girl that would be attracted to the manipulator is someone who did not have a lot of fatherly love. He might have been gone from the home. He might have been, you know, divorced from the mom. He might have been absent or a very difficult and critical father. So she's going to fall for a guy like this and say, oh, my God, this is exactly what I want and I need. Someone that's really charming and loving and so attentive to me. And it feels really good. She's going to have high attraction to someone like that. And then what happens down the road is their unresolved childhood traumas. When he stops being so charming or he starts controlling her or bullying her. Guess what? Now she has someone just like her father. So the unconscious always pulls us with chemistry to our past example of our opposite sex parent. Fair. Sometimes the same sex parent too. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you're not conscious of
this, fascinating.
If you're not conscious of this, it's so hard because, you know, we want to fall in love. We want the romance. And, you know, all this, keeping all these red flags in mind feels so unromantic. And it's hard to be mature about these things, but you have to if you want to have a healthy and serious long-term relationship with someone.
Yes.
So,
yes, my clients come to me when they are very serious. They want an emotionally healthy, conscious, and evolved relationship. So that comes with honesty, integrity, knowing each other. And when my couples come to me, I have a lot of couples that are in this toxic cycle of fighting all the time. Mm-hmm. So what the problem is, they don't understand each other's unconscious emotional triggers from childhood. Once they understand it, so I work with them individually, then as a couple, because they have to heal those things and change the negative traits that they came into the relationship with that are mostly all unconscious. And when they realize what the other has, now they have a relationship with more compassion and understanding, and they don't take something so personal when they know, oh, okay, he's just dealing with that feeling of not feeling good enough. If I give him those accolades, he'll calm down and realize I really just love him. I'm worried about him. You know, so then it's full understanding of when something comes up that you can talk through it. Babe, are you being triggered because of this or that? Yes, I guess I am. So let's talk about that. So, you know, issues, we call them issues, will come up.
Right.
But now there's a full communication process that we are working through that they learn to understand and do for themselves. It changes everything in the relationship.
That's
it's
great.
Amazing how, yeah.
But Rihanna, what?
So this is not therapy. This is a program, an educational program to totally change the dynamic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you have for someone who is aware that they have experienced one of the traumas that you mentioned? Someone who's single and you know, they want to get out there, they want to find somebody. Would you advise them to work on themselves and then go out and find somebody?
Absolutely. When a single comes to me, it's either they're single and out of a very toxic situation and still like shook up from it with some post-traumatic stress.
Right.
Or they are afraid to get back out there because they might have just left a marriage that was so toxic and they're afraid to date, or they don't know what to do to find someone healthy because they've had a couple bad relationships. Usually it's serial relationships, one after another, after another, after another, that's toxic. And they're like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? So you can't change what you don't understand. That is like my key phrase.
Yes.
So, you know, I offer, and this is something I'm going to offer to your guests, and it's perfect time to tell them now,
right,
a free Life and Love Transformation Discovery Session where they can just go to my website, RihannaMilne.com. There's a pop-up form there. Just fill it out. I will see it. Tell me your story, and we will meet for up to 1 hour on Skype. Or if you're a couple, we will meet the three of us on Zoom and we will talk about what's going on. And the forms you fill out tell me a lot of your story. So it's a very deep and valuable session. It's worth $500 and I will give you a lot of insight about what exactly is going on, what triggers are coming up and why in that very first hour. Because this, you know, this is my specialty area. Everyone's a different puzzle, but I can pick it out very quickly. And then we know exactly what is happening for you. You know, and some of the behaviors that, you know, I get asked this a lot, like, what are some of the behaviors that are signs that my partner or I have childhood trauma?
Right.
Regular lying.
That would really help. Yeah. Just
control.
Yes. Control. Yeah.
Jealousy. And that comes from trauma number 7, not feeling good enough. Impulsivity, that's one of the most dangerous ones, making risky choices that not only destroy them, but destroy you and the relationship. People pleasing, this is often coming from a woman that grew up in a very difficult home, very toxic mom or dad, yelling and screaming a lot. So they learn to people please to keep the peace in their house. That was the coping mechanism. And then as an adult woman, they will overdo for their partner and their children and think, why doesn't anyone love me like I love them? You know, they don't do for me, you know, and then they get resentful. But what is happening that they have to get new boundaries, and we work on that for them and finding their voice to speak up. Another one is abandonment issues that leads to high levels of anxiety. Most all my clients have ongoing anxiety that come to me. That's very normal, of somebody with childhood trauma. Fast trigger anger, acting out with anger, any form of addiction, and what I call cheap trauma. So they grow up in very dramatic households. There's a lot of yelling or fighting, and that's what their normal is. They're used to it. So they get very bored with a peaceful relationship, and they almost sabotage it unconsciously to get some drama going.
Right.
Or they might use addictive porn or sexual acting out in secret. Again, this is part of that secret life. Passive aggressive behavior towards you, like they'll shut down and be very quiet, like to punish you. That is also another form of control. So there is so many dynamics that we work through. And again, everybody brings to me their particular things that are going on, whether prior to meeting with me or currently in a current relationship.
Great.
And then we go from there.
Right. So
yeah.
I have one last question for you. And I'd like to know,
sure,
what do you see as being the key qualities of an emotionally healthy and evolved relationships? And what can we do to embody those qualities?
Sure. Well, there are many of them listed in section 4 of my book, Love Beyond Your Dreams. That's break free of toxic relationships to have the love you deserve. And you can get sample downloads of that chapter. There's chapters of both my books, Live and Love Beyond Your Dreams, are meant to go together on my website, RihannaMill.com. So there's a lot in there in section 4. So I'll just name a couple because we just don't have a lot of time.
Sure, yeah.
But some of my favorites is I always teach my couples this little saying, it's you and me against the world.
Right.
So that means always putting your partner first before all others. That means your parents, your siblings, your friends, even your children. Because if you two are strong, then your family unit will be strong. Many couples fall apart once the kids are going off to college because they put the kids, their activities, their sports, running around ragged for the kids, giving no time to their love relationship, and then it falls apart. So that one is a big one. And we often have to readjust the family schedule to make each other their priority and to feel safe and cherished. So that's a big one.
Okay.
Then there's the balance triangles of you, me, and us. So you should have equal time there. You means your quality time. So whether that's your meditation, your yoga class, your hobby, your work time, you know, it should be equal to their time, having their own time as well, and then us time. So you have to put equal amount of time into what you do and the us time. So let's take a gentleman that works all day. Then he wants golf on the weekends, and he goes out one night a week with his buddies. Well, where's the us time? And then he wonders why his woman doesn't feel close to him. Well, he's not taking the time to romance her. That has to stay up. The dating has to stay up. You know, it's important. Here's another one. Your top 5 to 6 requirements are met. Now, when I work with younger people, and I work with men and women, younger, older, my oldest is 78. My youngest has been 21, and parents have put their kids in with me when they go off to college and they're not adjusting, or they've come back from college and they can't launch. We call that failure to launch, and they need a coach. But when it comes to the love part, we get the requirements nailed down. So when I'm working with someone who's 32, for example, female, wants marriage and family, and she definitely wants children, then she knows on that first date or even before the first date, she's asking, are you a man that desires marriage and to have a family? And she knows not to only hear the words, but look at the facial expressions and read the body language.
Right.
Because this is a clear requirement for her to be happy. She wants kids. So she does not waste her time with anybody else, you know. So another requirement might be someone that loves to travel and loves art history in Europe. Well, someone's there, I hate to go on a plane. I'll just take car trips. Well, that's someone you're not going to be happy with. It doesn't matter how cute they are. So we definitely go into the top requirements, and you want to make sure they match. And I also say be who you want to attract. So if you're a female that wants a financially secure guy, you better not be coming to him with debt and bills, because you're not his match.
Right. The law.
You know, so in our life. Yeah. So in our life skills portion, we make sure you are a successful single in all life areas first before you go out to find that emotionally healthy guy. You've got to be that person too.
Right.
So we clean up all the loose edges and give you all the goals to work on first. And then we get you out there to date with a full empowerment of the skills that you need to know to attract someone who's emotionally healthy. And then it comes together, and there's so many skills to learn. This is a 3 to 6 month program because there's just so much to teach.
Mm-hmm. It sounds so comprehensive and so interesting. And I'm sure so many people could benefit from this, Rihanna. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to speak to you. I feel like I've learned so much
from our
conversation today, and I'm sure my listeners feel the same way too. I know you mentioned a couple of freebies and even your link. Do you mind?
Yes.
Do you mind repeating those again?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. And there's one more I want to give your listeners. So if anyone's like, oh my gosh, I have a lot of traumas, what do I do? I have a free ebook for you, and it goes deeper into this topic. Simply put in the search box, havetheloveyoudeserve.com. And you will get the free ebook on the childhood traumas. So it's havetheloveyoudeserve.com. That's gift number one. And then gift number two, they are offered on my website, rihannamilne.com. RIANAMILNE.com. And that is the free discovery session with me. Just sign up and tell me your story. And then on the homepage, you can get those free book chapters as well. So I'm all about education, Celine. You know, however I can help share my message with the world and educate to bring, you know, people a happier life. You know, everyone should be having the life they desire and the love they deserve. And that's my mission and my passion, to help as many people as I can. So I really appreciate you letting me, you know, share this message with your listeners today.
Thank you so much, Rihanna. You have so much to offer all of us. And I'm so grateful for everything that you do, because I think this is really important work.
Thank you. And I wish everyone a very blessed and happy life.
All right. Thank you so much, Rihanna. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.